In the digital age that we're living in, the possibility of an invasion of privacy by law enforcement that doesn't impact New Yorkers physically is more and more likely, with tech companies able to track our movements in the real world and our searches online. In response to this changing landscape, Democratic state lawmakers introduced legislation in Albany limiting the ability of law enforcement to access the digital data of groups of people who are not under an individual suspicion of a crime. To discuss this issue, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by David Siffert, legal director for the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, a watchdog based in Manhattan. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks for having me.
Right now, how are law enforcement officials using the data from, say, a large group of people when trying to find a single individual suspected of a crime?
I think there's a lot of different ways they're used, and part of the problem is there's almost no oversight on this process, so it's hard to know exactly. But there are all sorts of bad ways that it's being used. There was a geofence issued around quite a large area where a crime was committed, and someone was picked up as a suspect because police thought that they were casing the area. But what was really happening is they were riding a bike in a circle. So as a result of that, this person was unmasked, and they had a pretty extensive set of geolocation data turned over to the police. It's just sort of one example of ways that police might use geolocation data to put innocent people under suspicion, collect their information, and sometimes even arrest them.
And can you touch on what geofencing, geolocation, what these terms mean for people who might not be super tech savvy?
Sure. So geolocation data is pretty simple. Most people's phones track where they are at any given point in time. This can be quite useful. For example, if you want to get directions to somewhere, you can type in the to address and just click find directions, and you don't have to enter the address of where you currently are. It can save you a lot of time. But this data gets stored. And a lot of people will store this data perpetually, and a lot of entities that don't need this data collect this data, and a lot of people even sell this data. So while it may seem harmless to have your phone tracking where you are at any given point in time, having a full record of everywhere you've ever been might not be so great. For example, if folks know where you spend every day and where you spend every night, they know where you work and where you live, and they can really easily re-identify you. And then if they found that you went to some location that may be embarrassing for you for one reason or another, that could wind up public. Geofence warrants are a specific way that police officers get geolocation data, get access to it. So typically, when police want a warrant, they need probable cause to believe that the warrant's going to turn over evidence that the person about whom the warrant is issued has committed a crime. And so they might issue a warrant to search a person's house. The difference with a geofence warrant is that police will issue a warrant on a company like Google, and they'll ask for the information of everybody who went through a specific geographic area. So, for example, if a crime was committed somewhere and the police don't know who did it, they'll get the geolocation data of everyone who went through that area, even if there's no reason to believe they committed a crime. These areas might be quite large, and so you might have hundreds or thousands of people whose data is being collected, and it's not just who went through the area, but it gets everywhere they went before and after that. So the police then have access to quite a lot of information, which might be dangerous, for example, say, for undocumented immigrants who are just walking through the area where someone else happened to commit a crime. There are serious constitutional questions about issuing these warrants. And in fact, there are courts that have held specific geofence warrants to be unconstitutional. But as of right now, there isn't a broad holding that all geofence warrants are unconstitutional, and their use is increasing exponentially. Between 2017 and 2020, their usage went up something like 18,000%, and we don't have data for 2021 and 2022 yet.
Well, how would the legislation at the Capitol impact law enforcement's ability to use this data to comb for potential criminal suspects?
It would ban the use of geofence warrants by New York law enforcement. So if a law enforcement officer had a reason to believe a particular individual committed a crime, you could still issue a warrant to get information on that individual, but they could no longer issue a warrant on a general geographic area and pull in a broad net of everyone who happened to be in that geographic area.
If I'm someone whose data is caught up in one of these searches, why do I care about a member of law enforcement potentially seeing my data? How does it impact me?
A lot of us are used to the idea of if it's a crime, it's bad and we should stop it. But one counterexample is that pretty soon it's going to be a crime to seek an abortion in a lot of the country. It's becoming criminalized to get gender-affirming care for your children in a lot of the country. If folks leave their home jurisdiction where this is illegal to come to New York to seek necessary medical care, and that's criminalized, and NYPD or another police department in New York State has an information sharing agreement with law enforcement elsewhere, the New York Police Department could issue a geofence warrant on a healthcare facility that is providing care that may be legal in New York and illegal elsewhere, and report that information to a home state. Now, this bill is not 100% fixed on that problem. There may be ways that home state police departments could get around it, but at the very least, it would prevent New York police from being involved in that process.
For listeners just joining us, we're talking with David Siffer, legal director for the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, and we're discussing bills kicking around at the Capitol that would protect New Yorkers from invasive digital searches by law enforcement. So you've outlined a case where the public is not really at jeopardy because of the crime. So are there any exceptions in the state legislation that's being proposed that would allow for law enforcement to use these techniques in cases where there might be an imminent public threat that might only be able to be stopped or prevented in the future by utilizing the technology that we're talking about?
A geofence warrant isn't particularly useful for an imminent public threat. It's a somewhat lengthy process to get a warrant at all, and then sifting through the data is time-consuming. It's often even a multi-step process. So that's not what these are almost ever used for. These are used long after a crime has happened, substantial amount of time after a crime has happened.
But let's say there's a serial killer who's operating in a neighborhood and we're trying to figure out who is in that neighborhood over and over again. Why wouldn't this be a good way to try to prevent future deaths?
The first is that they're largely not particularly effective, and a lot of what you're likely to pull is people who live in the neighborhood.
But can we screen them out pretty quickly?
It would probably be pretty challenging, and if a serial killer is operating in the neighborhood, they might be living in that neighborhood. So, and it's also a real outlier case.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Shouldn't there be an exception then for those outliers? Don't we have a vested interest in those?
It's hard to craft exceptions for outlier cases because pretty quickly the outlier cases subsumed the rule. I'm not aware of any type of crime where this is the only way to solve the crime. By and large, traditional policing tactics, finding out who the suspect is and then building a case against them, interviewing people in the neighborhood, have been far more effective than technological tools like geofence warrants, which are substantially likely to pull the wrong people in.
When I think about how this issue might translate to police searches in the real world, one of the areas that comes to mind is the idea of police getting a warrant to look at library book records, potentially exposing the names of many people who are not guilty of a crime. If that's allowed, why shouldn't these similar digital searches be allowed? Or do you feel like it's not a comparable analogy?
Well, in fact, another thing that this bill is trying to ban is reverse keyword searches. So that's another aspect of the bill. Right now, it is also increasingly common for law enforcement to issue a warrant for anyone who's, for example, searched Google for a certain term. It could, for example, be an address or something else. These are similarly overbroad warrants that bring in a lot of people who are not suspected of committing any crime and subject a lot of their data and bring it into the hands of law enforcement, which then can easily be transferred into the hands of others, for example, an entity like ICE. And so we absolutely believe that the Fourth Amendment's particularized probable cause requirement, that there needs to be probable cause with respect to the individual who's being surveilled, is something that is absolutely important to be enforced. And we believe that that is a fundamental constitutional right, that the police should not be able to access your information over which you have a reasonable expectation of privacy unless they have probable cause to believe that you are involved in criminal activity.
You also support legislation in Albany that would limit the ability of law enforcement officials to create fake social media accounts as a way of gaining information about individuals. Can you explain the practice that would be restricted by this bill?
There's a number of different ways this can look, but by and large, what will happen is that a law enforcement official will create a profile, either a fake profile of an individual in a community or a profile of someone that matches with a friend group, and then we'll try to add often children in order to figure out what they're posting on Facebook or some other social media platform where the individual restricts what the visibility of their posts to friends only. And our feeling is that if a person is restricting their posts to friends only, that means that they're creating some degree of an expectation of privacy. We don't believe it is ethical to get access to that information by pretending to be that person's friend or by pretending to be a community member. Again, there are all sorts of traditional reasons this is bad in terms of over-criminalization of conduct of low-income Black and brown New Yorkers, but this also applies to issues like we talked about before, criminalization of gender-affirming care, criminalization of abortion. It also applies to, ICE cracking down on undocumented immigrants. So we would like to make sure that information that folks take an effort to ensure is private from the general public stays private from police unless they, accept the friend request of someone who is using their own accounts and honest about who they are. We don't believe that that information should be tricked into someone turning over.
Is the idea of creating a fake social media account that different than police officers going undercover in the real world?
I think it is pretty different. It's very hard for a police officer to go undercover as like the friend of a kid in middle school or high school.
I guess you haven't seen 21 Jump Street.
I actually know exactly what you're talking about. But even in cases like that, they're not pretending to be an existing person. I think it's important to add on this bill, the other thing that this bill would ban is police coercing individuals and turning over the login information to their own social media accounts. Again, obviously, if the police get a warrant, they can get access to this information, but bringing oftentimes a child into an interrogation room and coercing them into giving over account access to their social media accounts, we believe should not be allowed.
Well, we've been speaking with David Siffert, legal director for the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project. David, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really great talking to you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.